Hey, Go Church family. My name is Matt, and I am so glad I get to welcome you to our podcast for Fire. And I'm very happy to introduce a couple that many of you probably know, but it's their first time on the podcast, Charbel and his lovely wife, Arianne.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Of course, Charbel is no stranger to the Go Church podcast.
Anna Charbel.
Yeah, he and Rami are the voice of the Arabic podcast.
Yep.
And you both lead a grow group and do many, many things for Go Church. And I'm very thankful that you're here with us today.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to talk about this topic.
I'm excited to have you. And this is going to be a great study. Of course, Go Church is a groups-centered church. And what does that mean?
That means
I'm just putting you on the spot.
That means that we meet in groups, and that's where church happens for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We put groups in the center, and putting groups in the center allows us to put discipleship in the center, right? And that's Jesus said, go everywhere and make disciples. And so discipleship as the keystone for Go Church growth means that Go Church grows as you and I grow in Him. So this month we're going to be studying fire, not like the fire that burns buildings, but something that John the Baptist said that Jesus would immerse us into. And really, I want us to take as a church and see what the Bible says about the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of me as a believer and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of us as a church, not just me as a believer, but, individually, the role the Holy Spirit should play, and then corporately, the Holy Spirit's work for us.
And Pastor, if we want to connect the topic to our church in a practical manner, we can say that on a congregational level, when people go to church or attend church, attend meetings, it's very hard to keep trace of their growth. While we can both, I think, testify that in a grow group environment, which is how our church is set up, it's a group-based church. As we go and as we grow in that environment, we can really start seeing that fire kindled in the members of the grow groups.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And to that point, you know, we say that Go Church is a Bible-based and Spirit-filled church.
That's right.
But in order for those things to be true, we, as the people that make up Go Church, need to be Bible-based,
Spirit-filled.
And Spirit-filled.
Spirit-filled.
And so that's what we want to kind of dig into in this discussion.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it, and I'm excited to have the two of you, and I'm excited for you to join us and not just watch passively, but to take part in this discussion that will happen in our grow groups, which happen on a weekly basis. Yeah. You know, Go Church meets together corporately on every second Sunday. We have other meetings as well. But every second Sunday, we have all the groups come together for a time of celebration. I enjoy those, but the groups are at the center. And at the center of our groups this month is fire. So we keep talking about this. Arianne, can you help us and read the purpose of our series?
So the purpose of this series is, this series challenges the Go Church family to live on fire for God, to recognize and respond to the fire of God, not as a distant spectacle, but as a present, personal, and purifying fire. From the fire above the tabernacle in the Old Testament to the fire within the believer in the New Testament, this study invites each listener to embrace God's holy presence, allow His fire to purify, and live boldly in His Spirit's power. The fire is not optional. It is promised, it is personal, and it is for all.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let me ask you, are you familiar, have you come across that term, a person as a description of a person, someone who is on fire for God?
Well, speaking on a personal level, I can surely testify I was not on fire before. That's for sure. I can relate, and I can relate by seeing my brothers and sisters in this church, that if there was no fire in them, I wouldn't see the results I would see happening in this church on a big scale or even on a smaller scale, as I can see happening in the grow groups. So that fire, I think, is the core. As the core, like it's the engine fire for a believer to keep going on that track, on that trail for a longer distance and for more momentum, because it's not a downhill road with God. It's always an uphill road.
So empowerment, basically.
Technically, empowerment, yes, is the word.
You know, when I grew up in church, I was born on a Sunday. January 28th is a Sunday, if you didn't know that. I was born on a Sunday. The following Sunday, I was in church. And I grew up in a family where we didn't ask, are we going to church? That question was never asked. The question was what time we were going to leave, or if we were going to come home between services, because we had more than one service on a Sunday. That's the family that I grew up in. That's the life that I grew up in as a child. I'm so thankful for that. And I would hear, growing up in church, I would hear that term, on fire for God. And it was, you know, it's as a child, when you're around something, you hear things and you just accept, you know, this is a table. Why is it a table? Because it is. This is a table. This is what we all have decided to call it. I would hear these terms, but I'm not sure if I understood what it meant. Mm-hmm. Until I was listening to a guy who is in heaven now, but his name is Keith Green. And he said, if you want to know how to describe someone who is on fire for God, mm-hmm. it's someone who is bananas for Jesus. And I thought, I understand that. But then he took it a step further. He said, it's someone who loves Jesus more than you. And that really made it like set for me. To be on fire for God, not in a competitive way, it means that he is, Jesus is, the center of my life. And I'm pursuing him with everything that I have, mm-hmm. all my energy, all my effort, all my resources, I'm following after him. Mm-hmm. And if you think about just natural fire, fire consumes fuel, but fire ignores things that won't burn. Mm-hmm. I was once in a field that had been burning. And I was standing on what was called the fire line. And this fire was raging, super hot. But where I was standing, I was completely safe because every place that I had been standing was already burned. The fire had no interest in coming to where I was. Mm-hmm. It was chasing, it was pursuing fuel. Mm. And for me to be on fire for God means for me that my life is full of things that fuel and are motivated by the mission of Jesus. And I rid myself of things that are not heavenly flammable.
I can personally relate. If I want to speak from the worldly, like Paul sometimes gives worldly examples, I can say that I come back from a business background, and before I came to the faith, I was on fire for my business. So if I had a business idea, I would not sleep. Yes. I would pursue it. I would research it. I would do the impossible to make sure that I'm heading to that idea, to the realization of the idea to become a reality. And I wouldn't rest, and I would keep reading and researching and consulting and until I see something happen. Well, I can tell you that after I came to the faith, after I understood that I was on the wrong trail, part of that zeal shifted with me. And I can totally understand when you say those things about that fire is, yes, I've shifted my interests from the world to Jesus Christ, and I have full interest in him, and my full focus is always on him. Sometimes I derail, but the Holy Spirit is here to tell me, Cherbil, stay on track, because this is the track.
That's a good illustration. Let's actually just turn and look at our key verse in Matthew chapter 3. We'll look at a lot of verses through this series, but as a key verse, if we ask the question, okay, how do I get on fire for God? Let's look at what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And so, you both have your electronic devices there. I have my paper Bible, and I would encourage you, look at these scriptures. Don't just take our word for it. In your grow groups, the same. Bring your Bible, open up the YouVersion Bible app on your phone and see these verses for yourself. We live in such a privileged time where we have so free access to the Word of God.
Yeah,
that's right.
I can read it in any language. Nearly any language. There are Bible translators working right now to make sure that the Bible is in every spoken language. And we can read it in different translations. Now we can even have it read to us. What a privilege.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Actually, Arianne, do you mind reading that?
Yes. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
In verse 12.
His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
So this key scripture, this key text, is spoken by John the Baptist. John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin, and John the Baptist was in the wilderness. That just means outside of town, and he was preaching repentance and encouraging people to be baptized for repentance. This is not the Christian baptism that we practice today, but this was an outward sign of washing away of the things of the world to be in a position to receive the coming Christ. That was John's message.
Yep.
He said, I'm here to prepare a way for the one who's coming after me. And in this passage, he describes the work of Jesus mm-hmm. as one who will baptize us with fire. Baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. That word baptism or baptize literally means to completely immerse.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you are completely immersed in fire? I mean, what happens?
There is no part of you that is not in the fire.
Exactly. From a scientific point of view, what does fire do? Fire breaks down carbon-based atoms into their simplest forms. And fire is an expression of energy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm pulling on all of my eighth grade science textbook that is remnant, But spiritually speaking, that picture provides like a window into what Jesus, John the Baptist, is preaching. This is what Jesus mm-hmm. is coming to do. To do what? To immerse us into fire. Mm-hmm. But if we think fire is destructive, we think that's bad. Mm-hmm. But actually, this is a prophecy. John is speaking by the Holy Spirit, and he presents two works of fire. In verse 11, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and fire is contrasted with the fire of judgment, mm-hmm. which also Jesus carries. There is judgment. The everything that is continuing will not continue. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that it is appointed to every man to die. The Bible says that we all will give an account for the things that we've done in the body.
That's right.
And there is a promise of judgment, and in that judgment there is fire.
So mm-hmm. if I get what you're saying correctly, there is a fire. It's inevitable. You choose which fire.
Yes.
The fire that purifies and builds, or the fire that is...
that burns
of
up.
Judgment and yeah. is going to be destructive.
If I'm immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, then I am saved from judgment fire. And that's this prophetic word, and really an introduction to the ministry of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's mm-hmm. really what mm-hmm. we're going to talk about in this series.
Amazing.
And really, there's like three key points here. And there's more than three key points, but...
endless points. There's endless points when it comes to the fire.
Because Gilbert is not on the podcast, we'll only do three. Gilbert is Arion's brother, and so just, you know, last month in our podcast, it was Gilbert and I enjoyed it. I hope everyone enjoyed it, but, you know, those tend to be longer discussions.
Yep, we'll.
No comment.
We'll try to keep it short.
But let's make some just comparisons to bring out what John prophesied. Mm-hmm. He said Jesus is going to baptize you with fire. Parts of Bible, a key in Bible interpretation is understanding who is speaking and who is being spoken to. Yep. So who is John speaking to? He's speaking to people that are very familiar with what we would know as the Old Testament scripture. Mm-hmm. And so when he mentions fire, they wouldn't think necessarily, something that they cook over. They're immediately going to think of the Old Testament scripture. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the message here is that there's fire, and that fire is coming. Like if we think about like the message of John, there's fire coming. And that word isn't foreign to the people that John is preaching to.
Yeah.
Because what we know now as the Old Testament scriptures, we're very familiar with these people that are listening to John. Mm-hmm. And we could see this in Exodus chapter 40. We don't have to take the time to look at it right now, but Exodus chapter 40. In the Old Testament, fire would descend over the tabernacle, or what is called the tent of meeting. So the people of Israel would see the fire of God come down on the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And that was something that they witnessed from afar. Mm-hmm. And John is saying, Jesus is coming, and he's going to put you in that fire. So rather than seeing that fire from afar, he's coming and he's going to immerse you into that. And if you don't know anything else, you would know the result of that will be change. Mm-hmm. what went into the fire is not what will come out.
And our God is a consuming fire, so you're definitely not going to get
right.
out.
It's not
way.
A normal fire.
You're not going to get out the same way you went in.
Right. And the message, which you pointed out, that fire is inevitable. It's not something that's optional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's coming for everyone. And that's really the message of John is saying, like, Jesus is coming and he's going to put you into that fire. But those who are not in that fire are going to be consumed by it in judgment.
Mm.
And that's not something to be fearful of, but it is something for us, because we are Bible-based, and we are Spirit-filled, to prepare for in faith. So in kind of going through this, I want to pose this question. I want to, you are grow group leaders. In our grow groups, I really want us to ask ourselves, would fire describe my relationship with Jesus today?
That's a great question and an important one.
And what would be the way we would indicate it without comparing ourselves to each other? The Bible says if we compare ourselves among ourselves, that's unwise.
Yeah.
So what would be the indicators we would use to answer that?
Well, from past months' studies that we've done, I've learned a very simple fact. The people that are closest to you know you more than you know yourself sometimes, because we always tend to put this mask, okay, around us sometime, and we think no one knows that we are putting a mask. But we've done this exercise and it was amazing. It was really touching and it was genuine. When we wanted to do this exercise personally and ask our little kids, what do you think mommy has as priority in her life? What do you think Baba has as priority in his life? And we were really touched because our kids, who are like 9 and 7, are fully aware of what our focus is on. So, and we did that on the grow group level. And the grow group did that on their family level. And they came back with astonishing answers. Like, even kids can discern and can understand where your fire is.
That's wonderful.
And that's really amazing. So sometimes when you stand in front of the mirror in the morning and you look at yourself and you think, whoa, I'm amazing. Ask your kid,
yeah.
Ask your best friend, ask your coworker, what do you think my focus is on? And you'll be amazed at the answers sometimes you wouldn't expect.
Yeah. As we go through this study, we're going to find that we're talking about something supernatural.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But what we'll find is that there are natural elements that are up to us in order for us to receive and walk in this supernatural. And that's something that we want to make sure that we kind of maintain. My pastor says it this way, the natural and the supernatural come together and they make an explosive force for God. And that's what we want to do in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to, you know, this was just a chance for us to introduce this topic. And as we get into it in these weeks, I would just encourage each of us and you watching this. In fact, the purpose of our series is meant to challenge each of us.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than say, you know, I've had great experiences in God, I've had great Holy Spirit experiences, rather than be satisfied where I am, I want to challenge each of us to pray, Lord, let your fire fall on me. Baptize me fresh and anew, once again, in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And then he'll do his part.
Mm-hmm.
But on my side, I want to start making room, making room by clearing out those things that are not flammable for him.
Yeah, I like that.
What's an example of something that's not flammable? I was once approached by someone, this young man, he came up and he said, I never hear God speak to me. And I smiled and I said, what did you read today? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, what in your Bible did you read today? He said, I didn't. Why? I didn't have time. I said, okay. What about yesterday? Also didn't have time. And in talking to him, you know, to use the language of our series here, his life was full of things that were fireproof, insulating him from that which Jesus would immerse him into.
Mm-hmm.
But if we will fill my life with things that are heavenly flammable, I fill my day with time where I'm sitting in front of his word. I'm around people talking, not about other people, but about the word. I'm opening my heart and talking directly to him, which is an act of faith. You know, Lord, here's what happened to me today. Here's what I did. Here's what I should have done based on what your word said. In those moments, we can catch fire.
Yeah.
So make room for the fire of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
As you said, that sometimes really we need to take a step back with God and say, we're open to receiving something new. We feel we can accommodate something new because we just removed some stuff that is unburnable.
Yeah.
And we're ready to take a leap of faith with you forward because God does not only speak, he acts and he fills you. And you can, this is something that totally, you cannot ignore it. It's not like you're sleeping and the day breaks and the sun's moving and the shadows are changing and you're just sleeping and you're not aware of it. When there is a fire, you will be so aware of it that you cannot hide it.
Yes.
That it will show to the people in your proximity, and it will show to your life and to your thinking and the way you start seeing things as you go.
Yeah.
So about Pastor Matt, in the beginning of this talk, you were saying that being on fire for something or for someone, you can kind of say is being bananas for that thing. But you cannot be on fire or bananas for something if you don't know it.
Yeah.
So a big part of it is knowing him through his word. So if you don't spend time in his word and spend time in him, you cannot know him enough to want for everything in your life to be for him. So this is also, I think, a big part in becoming on fire.
That's really good and really well said. And what I would add to that is, you know, there are things that we can have other people do for us, right? If I'm not a good cook, I can find someone to cook for me. If I'm not very strong and I need to move or lift something, I can find someone to help me move something. But no one can spend time with God for me. No one can read the Word of God for me. It's like going to the gym. I can't, no matter how much money I pay to a personal trainer, unless I go, like actually show up, actually lift the weights, it won't benefit me. There's no replacement for me opening the scripture, opening my heart, and sowing the most valuable resource I have, which is time.
Yeah, that's right.
And I give time to him. And the Bible says, when I draw near to him, he draws near to me.
And if we may conclude, we did this exercise the other day. If you go to the settings of your phone, there's an option called digital well-being. Don't click it because you're going to get shocked. I don't have time. Okay, you don't have time. No problem. 8 hours on phone, 7 hours on the phone, 4 hours on the phone, 6 hours on the phone, 5 hours on the phone, 6 hours on the phone. I don't have time for you. I have time for my phone. No, these numbers are high because I watch videos and teachings on my phone. But still, anyone can see that this speaks by itself.
Yeah.
So we can create time.
You know,
it's a decision.
You make a good point. I referenced a study a couple of months ago in one of our big Sundays, but I just kind of mentioned it in passing. I think it was on Dedicated. And Walt Disney, the company, hired a group to do a study. And they wanted to find what most interested the children between the ages of 3 and 6. And they put them in a room and they tried different animations. They tried different colors, patterns, objects. And what they discovered was the thing that kids were most interested in were mom and dad's cell phone.
Wow.
Because the cell phone is what mom and dad were interested in.
Yeah, that's good.
And it had mom and dad's interest. Mm-hmm. So that's what the kids were interested in.
It should be interesting.
And that relates back to the exercise that you did with your children. And I think an important one that would benefit all of us, whether we have kids or not, those people that are close to us, what has our focus? What has our attention?
Yeah.
Well, this is a good introduction to our study. We're going to get into what the Bible says about the fire of God and how to make this practical for our life. But if you've made it this far in your day and no one else has told you,
we love you.
We do love you.
And we'll be praying for
you. We're praying for you.
Thank you for having us this week, and looking forward to see you next week, Pastor.
God bless you.